Yo, what up? Good morning, GMGM. Wednesday, right? Yes, Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. Look at that. Another beautiful day to have a beautiful day. I got my co-host in the house, OSF Mando. How are you guys doing today?
GM guys, how you doing?
Is there an echo?
Is there an echo?
It's one of us.
Someone has an echo.
It's not me. My phone's on low volume.
Me.
Free Mando in the chat. Hashtag Free Mando. It's been a while. Free Mando in the chat. If you're in, you know what to do. You know what to type. Mando tuning in from his new mansion. You must have been trading well this week.
You know, it's been an okay week.
Yeah, you're doing good. Solana's doing good, that's for sure. And a lot of coins decided to do well with Bitcoin. Woo! Big Daddy Bitcoin again, a new all-time high. We are every all-time high. We're getting a little closer to this 100K prediction. You know, you absolutely love to see that. You know, it could hit, Ovi. Could hit. It's gonna be a could hit, and it could be a good call, good video to reshare across. Because you have receipts now. You have receipts on calling 100K Bitcoin in Q1. So that would be pretty wild. And you have a dollar bet with Wizard as well. So
it would be pretty epic. I mean, we still have 17 days left of this month. Like that feels like a long time. Like, I mean, a few weeks ago that wouldn't have felt like a long time, but given the price action we're seeing, that feels like a very long time. So we're only about 35% move away. So it's not crazy now, is it?
No.
It doesn't sound as crazy anymore. You know, when you make a call like that in the 40s, you're like, maybe he's a little crazy. Maybe he's a little too bullish. When you look at it at like 73, I think mentally, like at 75K, people be like, holy shit. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're taking this thing to 100K. It's going to get interesting. Anyways, today's show. All right. Let's see what we got. Daily market report, as usual, like we were saying, is with Bitcoin hitting new highs this morning of 73.1 or 3 or 2 or 4, I forgot. But anyways, we're going to talk about that. We hit new high. Another high on Bitcoin, record ETF inflows again. I mean, it's almost like you could have seen this coming. It's almost like TradFi was going to bid Bitcoin every day, Monday to Friday, from 9:30 p.m. to 4 p.m., right? Anyway, something like that. Anyways, it's almost like we knew this was going to come. So you absolutely love to do that. ETH Denson upgrade. You know, I'm going to throw a grenade at this one, at one of my boys here. I haven't picked which one yet, but I'm sure one of them is an ETH Denson upgrade expert. So they're going to... They're way beacon chain vibes, huh? I warned you. At least this time I gave a 15-minute warning in the group chat. But... Ovi's already Googling.
100%. Deserve to OSF because he'll have the perfect Google answer to this.
What are you guys talking about? Fuck off.
Hey, this time we have ChatGPT. We have ChatGPT now. We didn't have that in May of last time when the beacon chain shit happened and Ovi had to Google it. But anyways, all jokes aside, ETH Denson upgrade is today. It's obviously highly anticipated. Great narrative for Ethereum. So it happens today. Largest changes for L2s. It's very important, actually. We're going to have to talk about Sailor. I mean, that clip is, I think I'm going to make it my alarm clock for the morning. You know what I mean? Like, anyone that chose poor, like, I have to say, like, I've watched that at least 20 times. So funny. Love to see that. So we have that. What else do we got? We got, obviously, altcoins. We have to talk about them. Like, obviously, we're going to have a little left curve segment as we have to have in this moment. Blah, blah, blah. We have Pac Moon launching today. So that's a big narrative on Blast. I think Ovi, you're like probably the number one still on leaderboard. I don't know. Like top three. Are you still? Check.
I don't know. I'm not. I don't think I am. I shouldn't be because I'm not.
Oh, a lot of people like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's popping on all stuff. You have a Power Gaming $400 million proposal on ARB. You have Pac Moon launching today. You have Frantech V2 to launch next month. That's on base. So super excited about that, actually. You have hot NFTs. You have, you know, Bitcoin, you know, ordinals kind of bouncing again. Ethan is still, you know, bleeding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we'll talk about all of this. And then last but not least, another thing. We're going to talk about this Degen Alley DGENS and Decrypt partnership and collaboration. We're going to have Stacy from Decrypt also join the show. So we're going to have a segment about that. Then last but not least, ooh, the numbers are climbing. They love to see that. Last but not least, we will be joined by today's show partner, which is Hivemind. And Hivemind actually is going to come and talk about the digital culture fund that they've been that they announced already. But what's super interesting on the art side is they are the people that have been buying a ton of art blocks, squiggles, Verdansas, X copy one of ones. I'm pretty sure they have an OV OSF one of one as well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So very exciting chatter for everybody in the room that is interested on the obviously crypto art side of things. And everything, especially in a time like this, I think it's gonna be cool to hear from a fund the perspective of on what, how they see the market, how they approach it, and why, right? Why are they continuing to believe in it as well, which is super important in a time like this. But anyways, anyways, why don't we get this party started with a market report?
Who is the man, macro daddy of the land? Can you dig it?
GM, everyone. So yeah, Bitcoin did hit an all-time high a few hours ago, hit I think 73.7k roughly, so just kept on going. Yesterday we did have a wobble. Remember I said on Monday I made the bold prediction that we were going to go below 70k again. We did. We went down to...
Was that a bold prediction?
It was a bold prediction. Yeah, it was bold. we went down to 68k. I'm going to make another bold prediction that we're going to go below 70K again. So just remember, you don't need to FOMO every single moment. You will get your chances in this market. Funding is still relatively high across the board. So we had a bit of a flush in this move. OSF continues to post about funding. And but, you know, market's still strong, particularly Bitcoin. Bitcoin saw record inflows. $1 billion added to the ETFs in one day yesterday. So crazy numbers coming into the ETFs. Again, we spoke about how they're all trying to reduce fees to try and get more. Have seen very little on a movement on the ETH ETF or anything like that, but Bitcoin super strong at the moment. And just Bitcoin is everywhere at the moment in terms of like traditional finance media. So like Saylor's doing multiple interviews a day. They're wheeling out Larry Fink to pitch Bitcoin on things like CNBC. So it's really starting to capture attention again, at least in traditional finance media. So definitely feels like we're not late cycle, but we're definitely approaching the end of the beginning, I would say. The end of the beginning of this cycle. We're now starting to really start to see people catch up with what's been going on. And as Bitcoin keeps breaking new at the highs, I think all-time highs. Sorry, I think we are starting to pick up new people on the train each time. So in terms of the movers overnight, you had, I don't know, like as Bitcoin hit all-time high, altcoins still are doing okay. It's kind of mixed. So like there was a big movement into meme coins, obviously over the last couple of weeks, and what really caught a bid over the last 24 hours was some of the L1s. So Avalanche broke out from a long-term trend, went above 50, so did Injective. So a couple of the L1s broke out. You did see things like WIF go back close to its all-time high again. They're obviously close to in their Las Vegas sphere. And then I think Elon tweeted a Pepe meme yesterday evening, and Pepe pumped on the back of that. Both of those, again, the funding is very, very high. So like they tend to rise very, very quickly at the moment, and then they just get smacked back down. So it's been mixed to say the least on meme coins. And it's mainly been some of these ones that have done well. You have the big ETH upgrade happening today. So the Denken upgrade, which OSF will be able to speak about later. And that the real thing there people were looking for is it's gonna revolutionize the revenue generation of the L2s. So people are looking at things like Arbitrum, Optimism. Those are kind of lagged in this market, but they're up today. Let's see if that continues. There's been various different debates about whether this is going to disappoint or it's going to, you know, revolutionize even the user experience on the L2s. I think we can just wait and see. My guess is it's going to be a big deal, but probably won't be like a big deal overnight. It's probably going to be a big deal over a medium term, but definitely does feel like people are going to be bullish on L2s on the back of that. I don't really know if there's anything other big. Like the inflation figure came out slightly hotter than expected yesterday, but TradFi markets all hit all-time highs. So stocks all hit all-time highs. Nvidia came roaring back. So a few of the AI coins have bounced back again today, this morning. We are just steamrolling to all-time highs in pretty much every market. Every single market at the moment, yeah.
Look at her go. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful?
Solana.
I think I'm in love with Solana. Like, it also has this like really beautiful, like feminine sounding name. I think I'm gonna like get a dog and call her Solana.
Great.
Yeah. But like in the bull market, like when we're like $300, like
it does feel like Solana is again breaking out. It's had underperformed yesterday, but then over the course of this morning, it's definitely outperformed Bitcoin and ETH. Remember, this is one of those maybe like, you know, buy the rumor, sell the fact moments for ETH. Some people would have been playing it into this upgrade. So then maybe like right now the narrative switches to Solana. I don't know, but I can imagine this being a day where you see people look beyond again and then something like that. But at the same time, Solana, you know, we know what's going on there. The FTX estate. A deal first clear.
There's it's a there. Few
things there, but it wouldn't surprise me to see everyone expecting L2s to do really well today, and actually the best thing is something completely different. So it may be Solana, it may be something else. Who knows?
So if ETH stays under 4K and then Solana goes to 200, do I reverse win my bet against Bored Elon? Is he in here? He usually listens. Hey, Bored Elon, are you listening?
I feel like he's beating you to it, if I'm honest. But
I already owe him the money. I know that. I have to send a half an ETH.
you might have some moral victory, but yeah, no, you've definitely lost that bet. But
I did lose that bet. I actually ended up losing $7,000 total. So trust me, I know.
$7,000 to who else were you betting against?
I bet this guy $5,000. We don't have to talk about it. Moving on.
Nice.
I mean, anyway, look, yeah. I was drunk. Okay, I had a couple drinks. This guy betting me. I took the bet. You know, I'm a Solana. Anyways.
The other big mover has been Toncoin, which is a top 15 coin at this stage. Like, this is the Telegram related coin. Telegram nearly hit 1 billion users. It's got 900 million users, and they announced they're probably going to do an IPO. So people have been getting very bullish on Telegram again, and the whole ecosystem there. That coin is basically up nearly a 2x over the course of the last few days, having done nothing for a long, long, long time. So that one's been rising relatively rapidly. There was a big airdrop today in Avo. Avo's another L2, $3.5 billion. I think it's come out as. And then in NFTs, it's mainly going on with Solana mid caps at the moment. That's where a lot of the activity is happening. You have this Pac Moon meme coin on Blast today, although as we went live, I think I saw that Blast has stopped producing blocks, which is not uncommon for an L2. I think this has happened to Arbitrum and Optimism a few times, but maybe that gets delayed. And then you had a bunch of different announcements about airdrops. So Tensor came out and said, look, you guys are going to get an airdrop. All the different collections which have partnerships with them are hoping to get an airdrop, obviously. And then you have Magic Eden. I think their airdrop, their diamonds airdrop, is going live today as well. So that's been there. Pudgy's briefly flipped Bored Apes, only to kind of get reflipped, I think. I think I saw Cyrus added a bunch of assets to the lending market there. So it propped up the Bored Ape market. And then Ordinals has been the main thing that's continued to push higher. So like they had a bit of a dip given the strength in Bitcoin, and then they've all hit kind of close to their all-time high again, or at least the highs in dollar price. So NFTs, similar sort of trend. You had like a bit of a bounce in the Yuga ecosystem. Everything else is a little bit lower, and then Ordinals leading the charge. I think people are getting bullish on different airdrops at the moment again.
Yeah,
a lot of them are on Solana.
With the halving getting closer on the Ordinal side, Mando, there's a lot of runes, chatter and airdrops and stuff like that going on in the
that as well. So like, yeah, you got some of that coming. And then the big one on ETH is really Blast. Like Blast will be probably the biggest one coming.
That's I feel like that's the only thing going on, right? Like when it comes
there's a few others, mainly in the L2 ecosystem and the others. But like if the ones that I feel that people are talking about are, yeah, like the cross chain stuff. Yeah. There's some, obviously this Athena, I don't know if you've been following the DeFi space at all, but Athena is the new hot thing in DeFi.
Yeah.
You get about 65% yield on stable coins at the moment. So that's gotten nearly $1 billion of TVL in about 2 weeks. It's led by Dragonfly and Arthur Hayes, but it may sound like another Luna. I think this one actually is interesting. Like there are some risks. They basically built a synthetic dollar, which again, that should cause some alarm bells for you. You shouldn't just believe anything that people say, but having looked into this, I do think it's interesting. I do think it's the risks are you basically benefit from the funding rates in markets. So like right now for ETH, it costs you about 75% funding rate to be long ETH a year. And Athena has found a way for you to capture that funding rate. So if funding rates in the market are high, like they are right now for Bitcoin and ETH, it's like 50 to 75% a year to hold a Bitcoin and ETH long. For alts, it's 100% plus. That's the sort of market where this would be valuable. But then in bear markets, this product wouldn't be that valuable. So it is kind of a bull market yield product. Let's put it that way. But that's done very, very well. That's taken up a lot of attention, and that will be a big drop. Like I reckon that would be, you know, 5 to 10 billion, maybe more.
Wow, that is huge. Well, if we're on the topic of Blast and everything going on, Denson upgrade, blah blah. I mean, Ovi, Blast King, CEO of Blast, interim that is. But how we feeling about Pac Moon today? I know that's like, of course, like that's a big narrative for the day if it happens. Obviously saw the Blast L2 tweet that Mando is referring to from 10 minutes ago, saying the Blast mainnet has stopped producing blocks due to issues related to Ethereum's Denson upgrade. Core engineering contributors are working on a fix. We'll share an update and postmortem once the fix is on in 30 to 60 minutes. Look, obviously like, this has happened before to other chains, so it's not like, oh, it's just a Blast thing. But how do you feel about all that? Like, what's the deal with Pac Moon, dude?
It's just a social farming meme coin that's coming on Blast.
So that's all it is? I thought it was like a whole product. Like, it's just a meme coin?
Just a meme coin.
Nice. Yeah. I like that.
I think it'll be interesting. Like, they have 170,000 followers or something on Twitter now. So I think they've kind of figured out the social hacking aspect of it. So we'll see. I would say it's the most, I would say it's probably the most eagerly anticipated.
Are you still up there? Look at this. I have 60,000 points now. It's not bad. I'm 1300th.
I think I'm sixth. I don't know which one. Yeah. I can't remember I can't remember my wallet.
Yeah. So you're going to, well, you probably have over 1 million coins of whatever Pac Moon is going to be around there if you're like top 10 anyway. So
yeah, they said 40% is being distributed to Blast bridges, and then some are being distributed to the farming aspect of it, and some are being distributed to people who got rugged on the risk on Blast thing.
Yeah, I saw that, and I love that they did that. Yeah, I thought that was
guessing the team will have some, etc. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. We haven't really seen anything on Blast, in my opinion, take off. Like, I'm sure people on Blast have probably made some money, but for me, it hasn't really hit my mainstream timeline. So I'm curious to see if this one will.
Bad day to launch a Blast meme coin, isn't it?
It is, right? With the upgrade, yeah. It's probably not the best thing to do when like you have literally like an upgrade going on.
They should just delay it. They should delay it 24 hours, I reckon.
But like, they should have known this in advance. Oh, isn't this Denton upgrade been planned forever?
Yeah, but like, this isn't, not all the L2s have stopped working because
I get it. You're right. They should
have.
Sounds like it'll be fixed in an hour. So I don't think, and the timing for this drop is maybe like
by the time this
afternoon PST time. So yeah, I think they have enough hours to get it done still.
Interesting. Listen, Blast's community coin. So that's what it says. Obviously, everybody here, NFA, do what we are, tread lightly. We'll see what happens there. But it's highly anticipated. There's a lot of stuff going on. And be careful, like, with highly anticipated drops. 170,000 followers. That's insane. That's actually crazy when you think about it. Dude, we're so back. My God, yes. Anyways, like, just be careful with a lot of scams, phishing links. Like, I'm seeing, we're back to the point where I'm seeing at least one phishing post per day. Like, someone saying they got, like, by mail, like a transaction they're signing, et cetera. So be careful, et cetera. Anyways, back to the, quickly, I want to go quickly over the upgrade. You know, you have Byron here. We got this tweet by Byron Loopring. Dot ETH saying that the Denson upgrade. It's better. I say Denson because I've heard Denson, but some people say Denken. It's Do Denken. We have a? Is it Denken?
Yeah, it's. I believe it's a merging of two words. I know one of them is Cancun. It used. Remember, this used to be the Cancun upgrade, Then they delayed it, Denken. So it became the Denken. So I think Denken sounds- must be another place or something like that. I don't know.
Denken. All right. I'll say Denken. I know. I've been saying Denson because it sounds weird to say Denken, but you know what? Denken it is. So the Denken upgrade today is a huge milestone for Ethereum. It hasn't caught on as the main narrative yet because it's super technical, true. But today the narrative changes. From today on, Ethereum L2s plus L3s take over Ethereum security, global scale, no more compromising. Can any of you two explain to me what this all means in NBA terms? It's okay if you can't.
I'm leaving. Yeah. I just have to do it.
This is the introduction of proto dank sharding.
Here we go. Yes, that's my boy. Go ahead.
Oh, Solana is down for it. Look at it.
There is a decrypt article about it. Okay, there is a decrypt article about it for people.
TLDR is it reduces fees for L2s. I think is the main thing you.
That's the TLDR. Yes, that's all. Honestly, this is what I meant by explain this to me in NBA terms. That's all we need to know. The 312 people listening live and the 2,700 people on video, that's all they wanted to know. What it means for their bags. It means that the gas fees, you know, are going to start lowering. And that's something that Vitalik wrote about most recently. And he's been replying to people a lot, right? Like when you saw that tweet saying, remember the guy when he tweeted abolish daylight saving, and this guy quote tweeted him, this puppet, like, oh, why don't you focus on gas fees? And he replied to him saying, yo, this is literally what this upgrade does. Pretty much. I mean, he didn't say, yo, this is what this upgrade does, but in Vitalik terms, you know, it's this is what it's all about. So I would advise, you know, obviously reading this article, just put Denken upgrade, decrypt on Google. It's there. Denken upgrade goes live, ushering a new era for Ethereum. So it's, you know, our very own Sander wrote a great article about it for those of you who want to get a little more technical on the matter. But what you need to know is that it will, you know, somehow help on the gas fees front. And if that's still not low enough for you, there's Solana.
I think this is the point. It's trying to compete with Solana.
Yeah.
Both from a speed and from a cost perspective. So even on some of these L2s like Arbitrum, it still does cost you to do. I don't know if you've ever tried to do like DeFi.
Well,
and
Arbitrum
stuff
is very low. I've done DeFi on Arb. Like it's like,
it's even low. It's not, at times it's been high.
You're right.
Like it's been high in the past. So it's really going to reduce that. People have said like if the data availability layer also gets merged with things like Celestia, you could see like a real like for example Tia might pump today because that also gets unlocked with this. That's another way for L2s become much cheaper. Like Tia's been in a fucking multi-month consolidation pattern around 16, 17. That's another coin which like could get unlocked with this. So some people have been buying Tia in preparation for that. But I think it is a big deal. I think it's a big deal if you really believe in modularity. And by that, I mean the idea of L2s, L3s, you know, you buying into the whole ecosystem play of ETH. If you're more of a monolithic guy, as in like you like everything being done in one place, like your Solanas and some of these other L1s, like Avalanche, for example, or there's various different ones that have tried to do it like that, then this isn't that much of a big deal. But this does really play into the idea that ETH is building L2s, L3s. ETH really becomes the base layer where it's going to be increasingly like you're going to be pushed to do stuff on things like Arbitrum and Optimism and those coins as well. Like it's really going to change the revenue of those coins. So That's why people are getting bullish on like the L2 coins themselves on the back of this. But
okay, okay,
I think it's more like by a factor of 10 or 20 increase the revenue of all these L2s.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it says we are focused on scaling and reducing fees in L2 at a time when Ethereum's usage is reaching high volumes again and gas fees are a noticeable cost to most users. And that's from Ethereum core dev, Preston Van Loon, was telling the crypt. So it's
this
really...
This will not affect L1 fees, or at least it probably won't.
No, it's in four fact, L2s. It's four
there's L2s. There's a world where it would increase L2, yeah. L1 fees. So don't expect your experience on Ethereum L1 mm-hmm. to improve.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Anyways, there's a ton of articles about it on there. Also, actually, I may as well bring Stacey up. What's up, Stacey? If we're talking, because I just can you get yeah you see okay
yeah okay
yeah right. Stacey. I mean the other article is literally from you.
I mean, literally yeah, I was gonna say like
I'm like she's in the studio. What am I doing here talking? You know, what I mean, throwing a grenade at my boys when Stacey Elliott literally wrote the article about Ethereum L2's Arbitrum optimism and Polygon C gains ahead of the Denken upgrade. Did we do a good job, Stacey? And did we miss yes. on anything? Okay.
I don't think you guys really missed anything. You're right. Like we were seeing, you know, like people were looking bullish on a lot of the L2 tokens today. Basically, the operating costs for all of these L2s are going to go down. Like you guys were saying, it's going to get much, much cheaper to transact on there. Like already the value prop of the L2 is just that you can transact technically on Ethereum, but just for much, much cheaper. It's going to get even cheaper. So just I think the economies on all of those L2s is going to change dramatically. I think we're going to see a lot more volume shift over to the L2s. It's going to be really interesting, I think. I was like watching the Ethereum dev live stream when it happened. I like grabbed that screenshot of like the ASCII art of the blob.
Like, yeah, what's this blob thing? I've seen it around, but I've been like,
I'm not that so I mentioned blobs.
What is blobs?
It's data. I don't know if I can go too much farther than that. It's a way that they are organizing data that is way more efficient and cost effective yeah. than it was previously.
Okay, got it. I was like 10,000 blobs on Blast. You know, the Blast blobs. We're going to get the Blast blobs. We're going to get Solana blobs. We're going to get the Arbitrum blob soon. And everything. I thought it was going to turn into a whole NFT project meme coin for a second. That's what I thought it was. But, you know, that's
probably. Next. I would be shocked if we don't see like a blob NFT collection
right,
really
soon. Right? Like.
Like probably today.
Literally, it's literally gonna happen today, for sure, because that's been the big thing. Just going around before we go into what we want to talk about DGens and what we're building on there. Obviously, there was on the you know, still since we're talking L2s like Base, there's a Frentech V2 has a date or at least close. They're saying Frentech V2 is launching the week after 420. So we have somewhat of, we don't have a day, but we have an area. I have to say, I'm a big fan of the content. I love this stuff. I love this. Like, I think it's so cool. But, you know, let's see what it is. I think I'm starting to feel like a lot of people may be sleeping on this, given like the past, like how it was, we waited, this and that, the ups and downs of Frentech. I don't know how you feel about that, Mando, but I think a lot of people are like sleeping on this. This could be a really big airdrop moment for the space.
The points were trading at a high level recently. I don't know. Like, but you need users, right? This isn't just like an airdrop, but hopefully they actually get some users back. It feels like Farcaster did a much better job in like taking control of that social aspect again. But let's see. Maybe they're going to change things and incentivize users in a different way.
Yeah, let's see. So there's that. And then last but not least, you know, there's a few things obviously on X that went down that I thought were was hilarious. But this guy here, shout out to Brenham Schlagbaum, CPA. Imagine having crypto as your only hope for wealth. So that I thought that was a funny one. That did the rounds. You know, obviously was memed to Valhalla by crypto Twitter. So good job, CT, fellow CTs.
You were gonna retweet him live now.
I was gonna quote tweet. I usually do quote tweet and reply to people live on air, CC. But I'm gonna keep it PG here. Okay. But you know, it's just I have to say, I love it when CT, like, you know, he's the meme, right? Like, this meme has been going around for days already, And now you have him filling the meme. Like, the memes just write themselves. You know, we are so early. We're so early, y'all. And you know what? There's nothing that brings Ethereum maxis like Evans and Solana mancies like Ansem more than a common enemy, a mutual enemy. Like, we were literally talking about Evans yesterday, right? OV Mando, it was so funny, like how he's like more on the Ethereum maxi side. And I'm looking at this and I see Ansem and I see Evans dunking on him. So there's nothing that brings CT more together than something like that. And I absolutely love that. You know, we have, and then you have Jeebus, everybody looking at, I mean, Loom Dart, Bitlord, Poor Dart. It's so funny now. Everybody just started, you know, piling in on that. And of course, K-Money, you know, gifted us with another great video. So I thought that was super funny on that side. And then the other thing, of course, I mean, come on. Are we going to talk about this Sailor? Hold on. This is a remix video. Let me get you the actual
video. The video is amazing, though. You got to watch the video.
Yeah. I've watched it 20 times. I do have to play it one more time for the show. I mean, we have to.
Because they want to sell it eventually, Michael. I mean, let's be honest. Most of the people who are, yes, sure, some people pass it on to their children, but like, most of the people who are buying assets at some point want to sell the assets at a profit. So
let me say it a different way.
Okay.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value, there's a name for them. We call them poor. Okay. Anybody in the poor state because they
based.
Based. Chose rich, savage, like all of the above. Like it's.
Oh my God.
Man, on national television. But you know what's funny? You have a person that owns much less assets than him trying to like in a
tell him.
Right, Stacey, in the most patronizing way and belittling way, tell him what assets and risk management is. Like, dude, this guy's like a multi-billionaire. You know what I mean? You try to teach this multi-billionaire what assets are, you news anchor. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like Sailors comes on the show. I'm not going to tell him what to do with his assets. I want him to tell me that I'm poor. You know what I mean? Yeah. Actually, I would love for him to come on the show and tell me I'm poor. Anyways, that would be a moment. And on the back of that, we saw Champagne Poppy, you know, the Champagne Poppy Drake sharing that as well. So the clip is like super viral. Saw it in Decrypt as well. I know you guys picked it up and wrote about it. So I thought it was super fun. Had to share the rest on the show today. That was a big highlight yesterday. I think I watched the video like 20 times over. Yeah. So, hey, if you don't own Bitcoin, you are poor, according to Michael Saylor. Well, I have Bitcoin puppets, so I guess that counts, right? Anyways, there is that. I know I'm running out of time. I got to talk to you guys about Stacey and stuff. I see Richard already joined us on the show in the studio, so we can talk about all this. But sorry, there's just so much to talk about again in the space that I never hit on everything. We'll talk more NFT stuff later with Tensor announcing the airdrop, Magic Eden Diamond airdrop for ETH traders. Like, there's a whole war going on that side of the marketplace, and I am here for it. Love that. It's only better for the user at the end of the day. So, anyways, Stacey, OSF, Mando. Let's talk business. I heard, I've known for a while now, but I was really happy to see the post go live yesterday across DGENS, Decrypt, Rock Radio, all our accounts, blah, blah, blah. Decrypt and DGENS are partnering for the launch of DGEN Alley, which is a super, super cool product and tool that we're really happy to work on together. If you're familiar with this show, you're obviously familiar with DGENS.finance because it's literally the product that the boys have built. With their team. We share it every day on the show. We'll continue to share it every day on the show when we talk NFTs, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of stuff there. They track ETF inflows, outflows. They track what's going on with Blast. They track Alpha. They track this market reports, NFT reports across all chains. They cover like Bitcoin, Solana, ETH, NFTs, volume. It's like they do one-stop shop for everything. And guess what? It's free. So that's the best part of it all. And we finally partnered with the boys here to launch the product on Decrypt here. So Stacey, maybe from your perspective, kind of want to hear from you, you know, what you're going to do with this and how you're approaching it on Decrypt side. And of course, like Mandovi, happy to chit chat about this for a minute with y'all before we get to Hivemind.
So this is It's great to like now have a hub that like all of our market stuff can kind of live in. So basically that's what DGEN Alley is. Like, this is the place that you should be going if you're trying to check prices, you want to figure out what's launching soon, who's minting soon, when things are going to drop. I don't know. I love it because we kind of borrowed some of the look and feel of like DGen's finance and kind of like brought it into Decrypt. And then the other thing that's happening with this is that we're also going to have, you can see on the screen now, these DGen's reports. So if you already have DGen's and you already have access to it, basically what we're going to do is like give you a year for free to decide if you want to keep paying for it. And then for everyone else, this is like a $40 a month subscription thing to get access to these like special alpha airdrop reports. Basically what we're doing, and these guys have been doing this for years, if you don't already know, is they're looking for the NFT collections and the different airdrop opportunities. They're doing all of that research for you, putting it into like a really nice report. Oh, yeah. And then we're wrapping that up and sending them out every week. I kind of want to at some point start trying to figure out like tracking like how much money, okay, like if you had signed up a month ago, here's how much you could have made, like that kind of thing. But like, this is the stuff you need to know if you want to save yourself some time and still kind of get involved. Like, this is how to be kind of like a well-researched DGen and not just kind of like YOLO on everything that looks cool. Like someone else do the research for you.
Exactly.
If you want to get a little bit of help, this is probably not for like the complete 101 noob, like I just got my first wallet yesterday. But like if you're far enough that like you're interested and you want to like try to figure out what kind of airdrops are going to be worth your time, what NFT collections you should be watching for, like for sure these reports are worth it. You know, they're trying to get you the information early enough that you can actually do something with it. So yeah, I think it's really fun. I've had so much fun and like learned a lot just by like editing and building out these reports. I'm the one who's going to be managing that on the Decrypt side. So yeah, I'm super excited. I think we have a really nice like collection of like market relevant trader data that like it is now just living on the site. So it's really good.
This is like a super force.
Yeah.
Like you have obviously what Ovi and Matt have been building. A lot of you that are listening to the show obviously are part of the DGens community. Like it's really, there's always been a massive crossover between Rogue Radio and Rec Guy, DGens, those communities, obviously mostly because of this show. And then you have the superpower, which is the powerhouse that Crypt Media is, as a media powerhouse in crypto. And so now we have kind of the merge of both worlds in one place where you have the articles, everything, and even Mendel Minutes, even the fastest growing newsletter in crypto.
You can find it.
Okay, yeah, even the biggest one is there. So, Mendel, from your perspective, love to hear that. I saw you guys put a thread out about on the partnership with Decrypt. I shared it. People can go read about it. But what does this mean, Mini, from your perspective, also for your community that's probably asking about it?
Yeah, we've done like long form reports in the past, and I'll be honest and say like, crypto people can't read. So the key is to make him as short and as actionable as possible. That's kind of the different revolution that we've done, have done with these. There's a lot of places where you can just like find dumps on like which airdrops are coming or which drops are coming, but very little curation or very little understanding of what is actually valuable, like what is worth your time. So our idea is for each week to provide kind of short, you could read it in a few minutes, concise updates on which airdrops, which drops are going to be worth your time, give them like some sort of a rating. And you know, these airdrops can be worth multiple thousands. Same with the drops if you do them right. So the idea here is that, you know, you're hopefully going to get a return from your time here. And it's going to be different than just like a mindless feed of like one of these drops websites or one of these airdrops websites. It's very difficult to tell like, okay, this is a top tier airdrop, which I should be spending my time on, rather than like, this is some mid tier, you know, app on Solana, which I'll be farming for 6 months and I'll get like 10 bucks out of. So I think that's the idea what we're going to do here. Like there's clearly a lot to be made in this world right now. And I think a lot of people are a little bit paralyzed by it. They just don't really know where to go or how to move, but they know there's money to be made. And I think our idea is just to handhold everyone a little bit and make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's super cool. It's very like, you know, I know there's the whole saying like ape first, ask later, but I think you should ask first, you know, mostly when it comes to like actual research and stuff. So it's great. And we have, you know, great people contributing to that. For example, Stacey, who's on the show with us today. So really exciting. Of course, any partnership collaboration that entails being with friends, I think that's what I'm personally most excited about. So I think it's really cool. I don't know, Stacey, if we wanted to add anything to that before I move forward.
I'm just really excited because, like, I've seen what these kinds of reports can look like when you're in, like, a super, like, TradFi setting where it's just super dense and it's, like, 10 pages long and, like, you have to read the whole thing to figure out what the hell you should do in your portfolio. But, like, this is not that. Like, you're going to go from, like, getting this report to figuring out what you should be clicking through to and what you should be doing, like, within, like, 5-10 minutes. So, like, really super easy to action stuff. And, like, obviously, all the links in our reports are, like, safe to click. That's the other thing is that, like, I know I've been talking to some of the guys about is just that I want to emphasize that, like, you have to be really careful out there when people are saying, oh, hey, here's an airdrop. Just connect your wallet. Like, don't worry about it. And, like, that's not safe. Like, so you're not going to get sus stuff from us. You're not going to get anything that's sketchy or, like, not safe. Like, we're doing all of that check, all of those checks, all of that research for you to make sure that, like, it's clear. You can click this stuff, go and get your gains.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So obviously be careful with that. Like, there's never going to be mints and all this good stuff on there. Sign your wallet, all that stuff. We don't do it. So check it out. Have fun. It's pinned to the top. So if you're on Twitter Spaces with us right now, first of all, remember to retweet the space because we're definitely not done here. And second of all, it is pinned. So Decrypt posted, DGens posted. We've all shared it. It's there. It's all pretty self-explanatory. But it's a lot of fun. And also, your favorite show in the world, FOMO Hour, it's going to be on there too. Index, everything. It's obviously, and it's only going to keep getting better. So if you have any ideas, if you're in the audience, if you're a Decrypt reader, Rug Radio holder, you know, DGens community member, FOMO Hour listener, feel free to just hit us up. Like, if there's things that you like to see, things you don't like to see, things that you think could be better, you know, obviously always open to making this better because we want to really build this for the people that come in and to be able to be educated before, getting involved financially and with their energy and time into the space. All right. Well, Stacey, thank you very much for coming today. And maybe when we have these like Denken upgrades and all these like big brain shit, I need to just call you instead of throwing grenades at my boys here.
Yeah.
The technical
happy to come back on. We should do like a Bitcoin halving one soon.
Yo. Consider that done. What? Let's do it closer to the halving if you want.
Yeah.
But like super down. Consider it done. We'll do a special on that and then we'll have you come and chat all things Bitcoin.
All right.
Thank you, Stacey.
All right. Bye, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Well, last but not least, we have a packed show today. It is one of those fun shows. I love to see it. I can see the studio. We're going to have to debate which is the biggest flex in the background between all four of us. I'm going to bring Mr. Richard on stage here of Hiveman Capital. Richard, good morning. How you doing? Dude, we're doing fantastic. I mean, look at that. You got the ringers in the background.
You got to flaunt it if you got it, right? Very like fortunate.
This is bullish. This is literally the thesis. We're done here. That's it.
I mean, pretty much, value rises to the top. The three of you, ringers on the wall. I mean, what more do I need to say, right?
The study, Batsupiam's pyramid post that Sam Spratt, who's listening right now, actually reposted, I think, yesterday. Like, study the pyramid. All cream rises.
So for sure.
We got Mando in his newly bought mansion. It's totally not a Google, a StreamYard, background.
Awesome. Congrats, Mando.
Bull market, Mando. Hana, our head of partnerships at the team, calls him Money Bags Mando or Mando Money Bags. She started calling him that yesterday. I love that. I'm going to use that.
I think that sticks for sure.
Yeah, Mando Money Bags. You got Ovi flexing a little autoglyph, casual here, $50 print for $500,000 NFT. And I just got a whole bunch of stuff. I'm more on this is the left curve background. Love it. Little dark farms right there. And my penguin. Both shoulders, like evil, and I'm kidding. And then last but not least, we got the beautiful ringers here. Richard, I mean, listen, a lot of the conversation lately has been around NFTs, ETH NFTs, and we tend to not talk a lot about the world of crypto art, this world that you guys at Hivemind Capital have entered in a pretty, you've made some noise. You've entered it in a big way. Do you want to maybe give yourself an introduction so people know, who Richard is, what Hivemind Capital is, and what you guys' goal is in the space?
Sure. Let's try and do it quickly. At heart, I'm an ex-TradFi nerd. In fact, I know two of these individuals from that background. But at my deep core, I'm a developer by background. And still at weekends, I Moonlight is a full-stack Web3 guy. And that's kind of how I like to learn blockchain stuff. So one of the managing
people. Do you have an alt? Do you have a m'lady alt? Do you have a m'lady alt?
No. I bet he does. I bet he does.
Moonlighting on the weekend, doing
there,
dev
there
work.
Are things you could find out there, but a different day. So yeah, I'm a dev by original training. I'm the head of research over here, managing partner, look after our trading side, and also, you know, part of the team here pushing ahead with digital art and what we're doing. At Hivemind, we are an institutional asset manager, you know, bridging capital for institutions into the digital asset space. There are lots of ways to do that. You know, we think it's important to have good products, but also good timing. And you know, we went live with the liquid fund a year ago now. We think that was pretty good timing. We kind of think this is similar, right? This is... NFTs are unloved a little bit. You know, we've taken a lot of time thinking about our thesis and how it works and testing ourselves. And the idea has morphed a lot, but you know, we're pretty happy with it. And you know, we're digging deep. And indeed, you know, we may not have come out publicly what we've been doing, but it's quite nice. This one, for those that know, instead of just pitching with a flashy deck, we're able to show a seed portfolio of the things we think matter and try and walk the walk. And you know, that's where our focus has been.
I love that. I think that is a great introduction here. And so speaking of walking the walk, I mean, you know, you came here to discuss something that we've pinned on the Twitter Spaces now. So if you're on Spaces, it's pinned. If you're on video, I'm going to share it on the screen in a second. But today, we introduced the Hivemind Digital Culture Fund, a curated collection of generative art and digital culture that is emblematic of the rising digital art movement. And so obviously part of this, you guys have acquired, a lot of art, right?
It will come out. Like, stay tuned. Like, watch.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I mean, again, at least three of the conversation. No, plenty of the pieces. But you know, there's a few fun things we think to reveal and show where we've been busy. And you know, but also show our style and what we're trying to do. Right? We are thankful for being the second mouse to get the cheese. Yeah, like we can learn from what others have done. We can study and observe. I am quantitative by nature. That's just my history, I guess. But you know, we've had a full cycle. We've seen the data. We get a feel for how it can behave, and that's guided our thesis. So you know, we're thankful for those lessons. Trying to do it a little bit differently. It's always good to be different, not just so you stand out. And you know, we want to go deep. Like it's about going deep in collections, supporting artists, moving the digital culture, the digital art that represents that forward as an overall movement, not just individual pieces that are spread broad and wide, but it's about that depth and direction. And so, yeah, we think we have some pretty good ideas. We think we have some good advisors on board. Some of it not yet papered, but thanks, guys. We look forward to taking the inputs of all of our backgrounds. And like said, TradFi nerd, so allocating capital to a space that's semi-liquid is kind of a thing I've spent a career doing. But also bringing in renowned collectors, thoughtful art curation types, bring support around the edges for all these parts so that we get the whole package together. It's not just, again, random pieces, but a thoughtfully curated collection, almost working backwards from where we see this space going. Right? You know, value accrues to the top. The wealth has been accumulated through technology. Blockchain has been a great enabler, but also a catalyst for that. And people feel comfortable redeploying that into a space associated with it. You know, it's a different space. Plenty of people buy traditional art who would have not yet considered, but probably will one day consider the digital space. So yeah, we think that is an opportunity, an emerging asset class in an emerging asset class. And we want to be right at the forefront of that, helping both the people who have done very well in the space, and congrats to everyone who just wants the diversity and not to have to think about it, and also more traditional institutional types and who they collect trad art, but they don't have the exposure yet or know where to start. So that's where we come in to help show them the ropes, look after it for them, and you know, really curate something to be proud of and elevate the value for.
I love that.
So you're like one of the biggest funds to kind of come out of, like you said, your ex Tradfi like us, kind of were known as one of the biggest funds to kind of spin off from that. What was it? 2 years ago? Did you guys start?
One Q 22.
Great, great time to start. Perfect time.
It's been a little. Yeah, it's been a journey.
What's it like now? Because you're kind of still, I guess, more attached to that world still, or you're still probably close to them, just like us. Like, anecdotally, is everyone giving you a call, being like, "Hey, is that crypto fund still going? Like, I see you've launched a new digital art fund. Can I jump ship now?" Like,
everyone wants to be an LP now, huh?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll be honest. My iMessages lit up. Obviously, it's the old world. It's normies, not any other medium. But we got quite a few pings coming that way. But most of my conversations are, you know, NFTs. Are they still a thing? Firstly. Yeah, it's not unusual for me to be associated with three-letter abbreviations that no one likes. CDO was another one of my career. So there you go. People are warming up to it again. It's no longer, you know, the email from old CIOs saying, "Are you sure you did the right thing?" You know, people are interested again. So, but it takes time. Like you guys know, it's those are monolithic entities. There is no fast movement. But the good news is people thought about it long and hard last cycle. So the distance for them to do this cycle is less of a jump. But we focus on leaning in to regulation, all the horrible stuff no one wants. But we think that to bring the institutional capital, that's what it needs. Like, talking their language, being thoughtful, being painfully careful about moving assets and all such things. It is painful, but it's also the right way. And it's a lot easier to do that lift when there's light at the end of the tunnel versus the last 12, 18 months, which have been pretty brutal. So.
Right. Like you're talking about entering, you know, starting Q1 2022, which, you know, tough times that whole time, right? 2023 for all of us across the board.
Yeah. Everyone's felt it. Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone. We all did.
And look, we pride ourselves in being decent capital allocators and pivoting and moving and, you know, with the times, which that means adjusting and being thoughtful, and, you know, products that we've planned to launch haven't launched, new ones have come up, new opportunities have come up. You know, you can't stick to anything. Like in this job, it's every 6 months, it's like it's a brand new mindset. In TradFi, I used to be able to go 24 months.
Every six hours, Richard.
I'm old. I can't do that 6 hours, but, you know, give me 6 months.
Broad brush, like, what are the things you're looking at? Like, now that you said you've gone through a cycle, you don't want to make the same mistakes other people have. What are the top things you're thinking about?
Mistakes might sound a little more aggressive than I intend, but yeah, we have the luxury, literally luxury, of being able to look back. Right? So, you know, we don't just want to apply capital, buy a load of pieces, and hope they go up in value. Like the last cycle, people buying NFTs, it was hard to pick what was going to be Lindy, what would last, because you're buying in the heat of the moment. Now we know, like, you know, Ringers, Fidenzas, these things are talked about daily by people. Right? They're still in the psyche. They're clearly part of the culture. You know, there are prolific digital artists that you know, may have inspired OSF, for instance. You know, well known out there. you know, that everyone in this space knows, but that may not be a cup of tea for folks outside of our space yet. But things change, right? Yeah, tastes change, and culture and art, they're symbiotic, right? So we think that moves. You know, we've been fortunate that, again, we've seen pieces enter the mainstream, auctioned at mainstream auction houses, clear for large prices. That helps give you the confidence to then look institutional allocators in the face and say, look, this is a big space. Look how big it can be and how small it is relative to the total art space overall. So you know, that helps us see the opportunity. But yeah, what I want to say is where we want to be different, we want to really work with artists and support them. And you know, the desire and we've taken a lot of routes around this to get there, is to be very focused and go deep on a movement. So, you know, we'll spend a lot of time up front thinking hard about what comes into the portfolio. Yeah, that might mean it only ends up being 6 to 10 core collections, but then supporting pieces around that, the precedent pieces that led to that collection, the pieces that are inspired after that collection. So thinking again how this ends up as a curated collection that could be displayed in a museum or exhibited somewhere or travel the world and, you know, help raise the artist's profile and work with them. Like all the things that digital assets allow for so much easier than the analog version. You know, we hope to lean into that. And that's where our efforts have been going. It's been a long journey, but really excited to start to show it off. Keep watching everyone for the announcements as they come.
Yeah, we're going to see the big reveal.
The big reveal. So wait, are you 6529?
No, sorry.
Are you the one seizing the memes of production?
He's a m'lady, no, for sure. M'lady on the weekend.
Dude, that or like you have like that or you bought the? Did you buy the alien?
The alien was not me. I can say that.
Whenever a big trade happens, we're always, is this you? And they always deny it, but I'm sure. I'm sure some of them.
This man right there came in all suited up with four ringers in the back of his thing, announcing this culture phone with Hive Mind. There's something there.
I am very proud of the seed portfolio we've put together.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go, man. We've heard that one before.
No, I will firmly deny the alien. Unfortunately, you know, I wish.
The legal counsel in the audience? Is that what it is? Hold on.
Yeah, exactly. Cannot market. Yeah.
It wasn't in the show notes.
Yeah, nothing I say, advice, etc. You know, all the
usual things. Don't worry, this whole show is one big NFA DYOR from the get-go. Question for you, Richard, here. Cool. Obviously, like you talked about when you came in, you talked about how you stayed, you talk about you guys are still in and you're still, you know, heavily, you know, investing in the space and the art side of the space, as of most recently, but I'll let you guys announce that when it's ready to go. What makes this an opportune time to enter the market? Obviously, generative art market. We were just chatting with actually Seedphrase before the show, just chit-chatting in the group chat about all this and stuff like that. Sure. He's buying. He's always buying gen art. He's super bullish, turbo bullish gen art in AI. What makes you guys bullish about this? I want people to hear it because like everybody loves to FUD and attack Art Blocks floor prize or Squiggles this and that. But like, dude, it's got nothing. It's not a shit coin. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to explain why, from your perspective, you guys are, to think, pretty smart investors. What makes this an opportune time to get into the market?
Timing is everything. It's always the hardest thing to do. We have a track record and a career built on allocating capital when others are, it's cliche, right? When others are fearful, that's the time to look. And bless Charlie Munger, but we are where we are. The space has had eyes turned away. We can see all the reasons, they all make sense. All of us, I'm sure, have got assets locked up, farming airdrops left, right, and center. People aren't there to deploy their newfound wealth yet into this space. When you have to take liquidity from a market and the depth isn't there, like the only thing that can change to clear the risk is price. And so prices went down. It's what it is, right? But we believe very strongly that art is part of the culture out there, and digital culture is a real thing that's coming. We, as mentioned earlier, like it's the wealth effect from blockchain has driven people who will be comfortable buying these assets, and so it's aiming at the blue chips, right? Buying the top of the top, the value accrues to the very best always, and it's the hardest trade in the world, and hopefully, Amanda, you'll back me up, is always the mezzanine trade, right? When you're stuck in between, it's not one thing, it's not the other. Whereas you pick up grail pieces that other people can't get hold of, like, then you've got them, right? That's it. It's no one else can get there. Like, for example, I'm about to shoot myself in the foot here, aren't I? Yeah. But
do it.
You may have seen out there Tyler Hobbs' Return Zero. the algorithm that led up to the Fidenzas.
Yeah.
Right? There's only one of those. There's only one NFT, right? And you know, we may well have acquired that to help be a cornerstone underneath a collection.
Wow.
Again, something other people now can't do because we're not letting go of that for anytime soon. Like we're big fans. We're a big fan of the work, his work ethic, the gen art space, the blockchain. I know everyone throws shade at art blocks, but what they've done, algorithms embedded on chain, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Like it stands the test of time, or we think it will. So you know, we are supportive, and that naturally fits in as one art movement within the digital culture that we're trying to curate here. Generative art. It's not the only piece, but you know, there are a number, and we flesh that out. But it's the value is always unevenly distributed out there in life, and so just aiming at the pieces that are going to accrue the value, that's what matters. And so the timing now, you can't always choose when you launch these things. Sometimes you have to, they're non-fungible. So when they're available, they're available. And through last year, there was some prolific, well-known collections that were liquidating, which meant there were pickings to be had, and other people were distracted by other pieces. So maybe we took a little look and saw what we could find and try and pick a few things up.
Rail sales, we've covered all of that. We covered all of it, Richard.
I mean, maybe something in there, might have been for us. So,
We saw Danny selling his collection of art to Sotheby's last week. We saw we follow it. We got our finger on the pulse on FOMO Hour. We're following the art world closely here.
Yeah.
We love it.
And, when we see ETH hit all-time highs and then smash past it and this cycle and end at another level, then, again,
there's
a whole load of wealth geniuses.
You'll be geniuses, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the best way to show you're a genius is buying a really nice piece of high-end art that everyone's proud of. Right?
Yep. I love that. Listen, it's love to see it. I think it's really cool what you guys are doing, and it's good to hear that some people have actual belief in this space, and it's not the everyday degen, right? Like it's people who are like really, you guys have a long term perspective. I mean, what's your vision, right? Like kind of like last question here would be like, what's your vision, right? 3 to 5 years, you're making these important investments with a fund. Of course, you must have a goal in mind. Like, what's the long term vision for Hive Mind Capital?
Sure. Well, we think this is a space that over time becomes more mainstream ultimately. Right. We think the digital culture is here to stay. Obviously, blockchain is here to stay. We've thrown our whole lot in. Like we were normies doing TradFi things, and that was great. But joining forces with some digital natives, putting it all together, we think there are opportunities here. And we think as that normalizes, the opportunity set will grow. The pie will just get bigger. And it's not about sharp elbows and getting everyone out of the way to get access to the one piece, although that helps with art, obviously. But it's about growing that pie, and we think that we can help do that. Specifically in this space, we think that the benefits of NFTs on blockchain as a medium, like it's just a technology to deliver art. Like people get very hung up on NFT and like, right click save as, and like, yeah, great, good. You've misunderstood the whole concept. Like, have you ever bought a print in the art world? You guys all get the joke, but the conversation is quite a regular one, and over time it just normalizes, and people see these things auctioned at Sotheby's all the time, at Christie's, and it's like, oh, okay, well now this is a meaningful part of the art market. And right now, whilst everything went crazy in the post-COVID world, digital art is still a small slice of the global art market. So we think that this is is going to be much bigger, and that as that goes on, museums will want to show this off. Like more and more, we have some connections already, and some great discussions going on in the background. And we want to have a collection that is curated that people would be proud to show off. And so that's that means a lot of hard work and thoughtful stuff up front to make sure you end at the right goal. Yeah. It means we might be a little slower than some would like us to be, I'm sure. Like everyone would love us to come and buy their bags, and I get it. Like I do this thing personally too. I fully understand it, but but slow and methodical to get to the end goal and build something to be proud of that the value accrues to. That's our game.
I love that. I love the value accrual thesis. I think it's very true. Raul Pat is similar. Last week we had Raul on Thursday, and very obviously very similar mindset.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Talked about how he just hit him that like all the value will accrue to like art, NFTs, and crypto art. And I think he just picked up an edition of 10x copy himself. So love to see that. Anyways, Richard, HiveMindCap, thank you for coming today. Thank you for partnering with us, and looking forward to hopefully doing more with you guys, and keep championing the art. I mean, we need people like that. So I appreciate for what sure. you guys are doing.
Been great. Thank you guys.
Thank you, Richard.
Cheers, man. Night.
So Mando, he bought the alien, right?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Oh no, we're not.
I think you're gonna buy a lot of things.
Oh, like, no, we're not off the record. We're not off the record. No, I'm just kidding. In the studio, die laughing. I love that. Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear about it. I'm sure a lot of people will hear about this. This is
busy.
Awesome.
They've been busy.
They've been busy. I love that. All right, Mando. Well, I'll see you tomorrow morning, and or in the order books during the day. I think you have Wrecked Radio in 17 minutes. You guys are interviewing a big trader today.
Who are we interviewing?
Thread guy.
The thread guy, yeah. That was a KBM thread guy love fest that decided to have on. I don't even know what we're going to speak to thread guy about. Like,
he took a whole two trade in his life in crypto.
Yeah, Mog. We're going to talk about, basically have a whole show about fucking Mog.
Mog and puppets. Actually, I could use that. Mog and puppets.
Right.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. My bands are aligned with thread guys.
Oh, and Pepin. It'll be those three.
Pepin, Mog, this, Rug Radio. Like, you know, my bags are very aligned with thread guy. So I like that you guys are hosting him. Anyways, with that, we'll see y'all tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of FOMO Hour on Rug Radio. Let's go.